looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life challenges. And one amazing way to get through some challenges and how you know you're there is when you're happy. And we hear this word happy and happiness so often because that is the number one answer that people give when asked, what is it you want out of life? You know, maybe sometimes we think that people say money or even health and everything, but really it all comes down to being happy. And as you know, everybody knows my favorite show that I've ever done before, I did an entire hour on smiling. I've got a song for it, it's, you know, everything. But happiness doesn't always mean smiling. It comes in so many shapes and forms, and we get there and we arrive to happiness in such different ways. So I have the perfect person, again, for this show, All on Happiness, and I want to say that her company, her brand is Soulicious, and that is Soul Inspired Living, but her pen name, are you ready, is the Happiness Goddess. And just even hearing that makes me happy, and that's something that we're going to take this whole hour and really talk about. If you're lacking happiness, or you don't know how to recognize it, or you don't know how to enjoy happiness. So here I have Vita Rubino with us, and hello, welcome. Welcome, Vita.
Hey, Lisa. So great to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm happy. I think that word is going to be said like a million times, but I'm so happy that you're here. And really because you've made a career out of, and like you're known as Happiness Goddess because, and I want to ask this question just to kick it off, because you are so happy or because you found happiness or you're able to show people how to get happy. Like why are you known as the Happiness Goddess?
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of, well, A, I love the goddess essence, and then the happiness piece is sort of what I've become certified in, but to answer your question, no. Am I happy all the time? Of course not. I'm human. but I think the important thing is that I understand how it is or what I need to do to get back to reclaiming my happiness.
Ooh, reclaiming your happiness. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I think and I sort of pride myself on that because that's how I show people, teach people how to reclaim their happiness.
Okay, that's a really good word, actually. Now I'm thinking about this because when you say like a goddess claims her position, her state. And so now I'm feeling like, okay, reclaiming means that we have allowed it to not be ours.
That's right. That's right. So, we've lost it sometimes.
Yeah. So how are people losing it right now when people come to you? What's the biggest reasons why they're losing their happiness?
Well, I think first and foremost, to just take a step back for a moment, Lisa, I believe that happiness is innately who we are. It's our true state. It's our natural natural way of being. And I think that as we go through life, we experience ebbs and flows. And I think that we get so caught off track that we step away from who we really are. And who we really are comes back to that innate, happy, loving, divine soul or being. And so I think it's easy for us to shift off course and forget that we are that. We are exactly a happy, loving, divine, complete person. And so reclaiming, I love that word reclaiming because we're not claiming it. We're not looking for it. We're not going out to try to find it because it's already ours to claim.
I think that's the biggest thing is taking that thing. I'm actually trying to picture right now somebody, I'm jumping to the end and we're going to go back, but what would a person look like who is claiming their happiness?
Well, I think somebody who's conscious, who's awake, who is really taking ownership for their life, somebody who absolutely understands that we're living in this human experience, but we are a true soul being. So when somebody is living in their truest state, it just means that everything is rainbows and lollipops every single moment of the day. But what it means is that when we find ourselves off track and we're separated from that conscious state of being, from that happy place, we then know how to reclaim it. We know what to do, what strategies, what steps, what tools we need to implement or cultivate in our life in order to get us back to that place of happiness. And I think that, I call myself the happiness goddess, but it doesn't mean that I'm happy every moment of the day. But what it does mean for me is that I have the tools and I have what it takes to get myself back into that place, or I know that the happiness is already there. You know, my mom used to say to me, Vita, happiness is a state of the mind. And what I've learned over time and through my certifications and things like that, that happiness is truly not a destination, Lisa. People often look at happiness and say, oh, well, if I finally have a child, if I finally get that job promotion, if I buy that beautiful, expensive car, I'm gonna really be happy. But ultimately, that is all just material, superficial things. Happiness doesn't come from any one of those things. Happiness is already within us, and happiness is not a destination.
I've got a question about that, but I have a funny comment to tell you first. When you said rainbows and lollipops, I'm not a technology person, but there's one thing I love doing is making, you and I had this conversation, I just remembered. You know how we take pictures and we do little cute things on our phone, like you can put frames around them and little pictures. Well, it's so funny because the stickers, when it says, oh, would you like to add a sticker? The stickers that always come up on for me are rainbows and lollipops that I always
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And as a nutritionist, I'm like, I'm not putting lollipops on there. But anyway, so you said that, I thought it was funny. So my question though is, let's go there with the external things, because I think a lot of people would challenge me on that statement, saying, no, I'm actually really happy when I bought my car, or I bought this external thing, or bought a new outfit, or I don't even know, like just stuff.
Yeah.
So what is it we're experiencing when I would say, oh my God, I'm so happy I got this?
Well, I think there's an instant gratification, right? There's an instant sort of feeling of like, oh my God, this is so great. It brings me happiness or joy. And I would say that it's actually joy that they're feeling versus the happiness. Joy is a fleeting feeling, right? Where happiness is a state of being. And I feel like joy contributes or attributes to our happiness state for sure. And I think joy plays a big part of it. But what we're experiencing in those moments when we're looking at, you know, feeding ourselves in the superficial or materialistic way, you know, like buying an outfit or going to get our hair done or buying a new car, you know, those are all great. And we can feel absolutely happy and joyful in the moment. But that the difference is that these things are fleeting. They're fleeting moments. They're not something that is going to sustain a constant frequency of happiness. Does that make sense?
Yes, you are certified in this. My God. Now, I'm thinking about all, like, right now thinking, okay, wow, instant gratification. And that can actually become an addiction.
Absolutely.
Because there are, and you're right, so fleeting. You're like, oh my God, it's gone now. I need it again.
Right.
I need it again.
Exactly. And that's typically why people tend to fall into addiction, because they have completely disconnected from their happy innate being. They have completely disengaged from that true source, from that energy, from that divine place of who they actually are. So then they're instantly trying to gratify themselves based on the superficial need to, or materialistic need to feel those feelings of joy continuously, because they're so fleeting. Those joyful moments are fleeting because they're not, it's not, joy is a wonderful feeling, and you can engage in joyful moments and joyful places when you have that foundation of happiness already cultivated. So joy, like, I actually have an article written that sort of talks about the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a consistent sort of foundation, is innately who we are, it's our truest being, our truest nature, whereas joy, you know, falls into that and is part and parcel to the happiness piece, but joy is fleeting. There's just moments that fulfill us, that make us joyful, but it's not necessarily the foundation that we can hold on to that will keep us consistently happy. Does that make sense?
It does. And you actually just made me go into the words we use. And I would say, I feel joy and I am happy. I wouldn't say I am joy and I feel happy.
Exactly.
Right. That is so cool. I'm having an awareness moment.
Yeah.
The insane.
Because joy is more the feeling, happiness is more the foundation.
That state. Yes, I love that. That's actually really helpful for a lot of people who are, like you said, I'm so blown away too right now by thinking an addiction is like you looking for an instant gratification because you are disconnected from the state of happiness. You are just going, here's a joy bit. Oh, here's a joy bit. Here's like a little Pac-Man gobbling up little joy bits, right?
Exactly.
And I have a question too. So what, if there's just one, maybe it's all of them, would you say there is a chakra that when it is out of alignment or when it is in alignment affects the state of happiness the most?
100%. I believe that all do innately, but I believe that the one that we often connect to the most is for me, it's obvious. Maybe for some, it may not be, but it's definitely the heart, because the heart is where we experience most of our emotion, right? Mm-hmm. We feel the joy in our heart. We feel the love. We feel the negativity. We feel the happiness the sadness or the heaviness. It's all sort of in that heart center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say the heart chakra for sure.
So if somebody is, constantly, let's say, that's looking for those instant gratifications and really truly disconnected, would that be a good place to start? Because one of your things is, because you do have an amazing program and you run these and you teach them, but one of them is to connect to your happiness. Is that where you have people start, with working with the heart chakra?
Well, I think that is definitely that's incorporative. I incorporate that work through meditation and breath work. For sure, chakra balancing is a big part of it. And just understanding, Lisa, that there's the totality of self. So just to back up, for a moment, the totality of self, right? We're not just working on the physical aspect. I think when we talk about happiness, there has to be a deepened look, or more of an awareness around the totality of self. So the spiritual body, the emotional body, the mental body, and the physical body. So I think that when we talk about the chakras, that's sort of got to do with more of the spiritual and the emotional, but also can relate to the physical, because when our chakra energy centers are out of balance, we're going to feel, we're going to feel disconnected. We're going to feel restricted. We're going to feel those icky feelings in the physical body as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, yeah. The word restricted is it's a powerful word. When I heard that, it like jumped out at me. Maybe I'm just going through that. I don't know, but meaning that was like a really big word. And I'm also thinking now things about the heart and restricted and where it feels like your heart's being squeezed, wrapped up and tied up and then it can't connect. I often ask people just in my coaching and say, what do they think the opposite of love is? And generally, a lot of people will say hate, and to me that's very almost the same, because not the same, but so desired and passion filled that I don't think, I always think the opposite of love is indifferent, because they don't care. What would be the opposite of happiness?
I think there's so much. I don't think that there's necessarily one feeling, right? Because if we're not happy, ultimately we could feel, we could feel guilt, shame, any type of negativity, sadness, heaviness, anxious. Like I think ultimately people would say, oh, it's automatically it's sadness. But if you're not happy, you don't necessarily, you may not necessarily be sad. You just might be discontented. You might be feeling, all these other really icky emotions that have separated you from your truest, innately self, from your soul, that has disconnected you. And so to answer that specifically, I don't know, realistically people would say sadness, but I don't necessarily think that sadness is isolated in that answer. I think that there's so many other answers that can, because anything opposite of not feeling in alignment is any of those emotions, right, that we experience.
Maybe that feels right, like not in alignment.
Yeah, anything that doesn't feel in alignment, I think, affects our happiness, our state of happiness.
That is so, I, And just because I'm really going back to the intro, like that's the number one thing people always look for. So it just it sounds like a lot of, like we said, separated from and disconnected and all these things. You do yoga. So that's, so I just want to share that with everybody. So you are a yoga instructor, and what kind of yoga do you do?
Yeah, my lineage is Shivananda. So it's Hatha based, but I teach a variety of different sort of combinations of a few different, like vinyasa flow. I teach a little bit of hatha mixed in with restorative. So, but my primary sort of yoga training falls under the umbrella of hatha yoga.
Okay, and that's with the breath, using a lot of breath work.
Yeah, definitely breath. Breath 100% is part of how I teach and what I teach, absolutely. Breath is primarily one of the most important things outside of the actual asanas, the postures. Breath would be the second most important thing in any one practice of yoga.
And, you know, it's really interesting we're talking about breath now because, as you know, I think of when my mom used to say to me if I was really upset and out of alignment, negative feelings and all those things that were not happiness, the first thing she would always say, she'd always say, let's get a cup of tea. But then she would say, take a bit, breathe.
Yeah.
Just breathe and center, because I think that centering allows us to first of all, because we're going to go to commercial in just about 30 seconds here, but I want to come back and you can even walk us through a little bit about that centering, because how else could we connect with our innate self and our innate happiness if we weren't centered and breathing properly? Would you be okay with walking through a little bit of that?
For sure. Absolutely.
That is actually really fun. And I wasn't joking. My mom usually says that. Tea or breath? When we come back and do an exercise.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We are here with Vita Rubino, and just a lovely soul who is really out there teaching people, helping people, supporting people to get back to their innate happiness state. And I want to say thank you so much for sharing this time with us, because, Vita, it is a struggle for people. I think when people wake up, I mean, I wake up and I just am that state of happiness, but there are things that certainly, you know, put me in that little shaky ground, like, oh, I'm not feeling that great here. My joy is kind of slipping away. What's going on here? And so you do some things that really help you. Like, you have the tools. Like, that's why you're the happiness goddess. I just love saying that. But and there are tools. And I think that I want to thank you for being able to share them with us, because it's hard sometimes, and it's hard to experience sadness and wonder, am I still happy? Am I, you know?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
So we talked about a little bit about breath work, and because everybody who's alive can do it, that's why I really love that you're being able to share with us that anybody can do this anywhere, no matter where they are.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we're talking about yoga, we're talking about happiness. Like, breath work, did a little about that.
Oh, wait, Vita, I'm losing you there. Hold on here. Oops. I'm doing a check with you. Vita?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Okay. I did not hear any of that answer. I think you went away for a little.
Oh, I'm not sure what happened. I'll just repeat what I said. So, no, just speaking about breath work and about yoga, you know, and sort of how this sort of fits into the happiness piece, I think whenever we start to look within, we start to sort of hone in on ourselves, we hone in or reflect inward, you know, just even simply with the breath work, it puts us in a state of mindfulness. It puts us in a state of awareness. And so, you know, that's why I love yoga so much, because, you know, what I'm able to teach others and even just what I do for myself in my own practice of yoga is when I'm on my own mat, you know, I center in on my breath. And I think that's so important. And I think that our breath is so healing on so many levels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us probably take our own breath for granted. You know, there's so much of the population that deals with anxiety and depression and, you know, and you know, we worry about things. There's a lot of fears that come up that create this sort of heaviness in our heart. And I know that when I'm experiencing any of these kinds of emotions or any of this type of heaviness in my heart space, you know, breath work is essentially what I go to first and foremost, because I know that through the breath, I'm able to alleviate that sort of heaviness. And it completely shifts energy. And if you research it, there's a lot of documented research that says that breath work is so powerful and so positively, can be used so positively to alleviate, to shift energy, to raise your vibration and to eliminate or alleviate that stress or that heaviness, sadness, anxiousness. And so if you're just wanting to just take a moment to sort of feel into whatever it is that you're experiencing in the negative sense, using our own breath can really help us. And just sit, you know, sitting for 2 minutes even, you know, and just deeply focusing on the inhalations and the exhalations and becoming really consciously connected to our own breath, actually, medically speaking, has an effect on our nervous system.
It does put us into that state, yes.
Yes, it's like using, you know, essential oils, and I think we might talk about that later, but it's like shifting that energy. It's shifting our body, our hormones in our body. It's relaxing. It speaks directly to our brain waves. And so whenever we are feeling that anxiety or that, you know, heaviness, just remember breathing deeply and becoming aware of the inhales and the exhales and consciously really connecting will ultimately shift that energy, and you will feel 100 times better, I promise you.
I'm going to promise everyone too, and it's funny that you just made me think of something. Now, I have not had babies, but I can say, and I've, you know, everybody's naturally known as this, but Lamaze. I mean, that is a breathing technique right away that every woman's taught, and to work through those contractions, those intense, and I'm going to go with pain, but I don't want to say that because, you know, it's a joyful experience too, but meaning that but what I'm also wondering, I want to ask you, because you have had babies, so you know this, but when the mom is breathing and doing that breath work and centering in and just
honing in,
I'm going to just go on a limb and say that baby is also receiving that moment.
Yeah.
And they're being taught right then and there. So I believe that, you know, I think we all, whoever's born, you know, as they were being born, the mother had to have been breathing in a certain way. And maybe that's left a pattern too. That's just a reminder of.
Well, I think we said to sort of answer that question in an indirect way, or to maybe touch on that. I think you kind of said it in a way that, you know, you talked about pain, you talked about, and that goes with yoga too. And I, you know, like we talked about earlier before commercial, you know, in yoga, I really help my students to really hone in on their breath. The more that they become aware of their breath, the more they're taking themselves out of the physical experience. So if they're holding a posture that feels really, really hard, that feels really, really maybe painful, maybe they're experiencing a lot of stiffness, soreness, whatever the physical experience is, when they can tune into their own breath, and be very, very conscious of the inhales and the exhales and really calm their state of mind, the physical body releases as well. So they're almost taking themselves out of the physical experience and putting themselves into a different, higher sort of level of consciousness. And that goes the same with having a child. You know, I was very fortunate. I did do Lamaze. I had my yoga training in background. You know, I'm a meditation coach as well. So I had all of that already, but I still did Lamaze. And I can honestly say that the breath work was so absolutely powerful for me, Lisa. When I gave birth, I gave birth in 2 hours, and I went, it was ridiculously insane and magical all at the same time. But I didn't have any painkillers whatsoever. I completely gave birth naturally, and it was the most profound experience I've ever witnessed. You know, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, you had a baby and you didn't have any pain medication." And I'm like, "No, I focused so much on my breath, and I sort of took myself out of that sort of physical experience and raised my consciousness just by focusing on the breath." I know it might sound a little woohoo, but really that is how powerful our breath is.
Well, you actually were saying when we do the breath work, and you were just allowing everybody to, well, reminding us that our brain chemicals change, our hormones change.
Yes.
So in fact, we are giving ourselves a painkiller. You know what I mean? We
yeah.
are giving ourselves that relief in our own pharmacy inside of our bodies.
Absolutely. And what happens is actually by just doing the breath work alone, we actually fall into almost like a meditative state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're calming.
Thing.
Yeah. We're calming the physical body. We're calming the emotional, spiritual, mental body. We're calming the mind. We're calming the nervous system. We're calming all systems in the body. So that it's just like there's just something that's so profound that happens when we can really just tune into the breath. The power of our breath is so powerful. So
fun. And on that note, would you like to do a little one for a week? Because we do, you don't have to do it for 10 minutes, but we do still have 10 minutes before the next commercial. So we still have time if you want to do like a 5 minute or whatever you feel would
yeah.
really help us to do this.
Well, I'll give
awesome.
You. For sure. I have this little tool that I do in my 8-week happiness and wellness workshop. And it's like a little visual, and it's really I find it really works. And so if you're sitting in a meditative state, either lying down or you're sitting in a chair, you want to make sure that your feet are rooted onto the floor flat and your hands are just sort of comfortable in your lap or on the ground if you're lying down. And what you want to envision in your mind is envision like a hollow sort of square. So you see four lines, right, that create that square image in your mind. So if you think about, let's say we're going to start on the left-hand side of the square going up. So imagine you're tracing that square through your mind's eye with the breath. As you inhale, you're creating that line up. And as you exhale, you're drawing the line across on top of the square. And as you exhale, you're drawing the line down. And then again, inhaling the line across and sort of just creating that sort of smooth cycle of breath by following in your mind the actual outline of that square. So you're inhaling, exhaling. But you're consciously moving that line up. And you don't want to do it fast. Obviously, you want to do it very slow. You want to inhale completely. You want to exhale fully. And so just taking your time to envision creating that square in your mind's eye. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely, yes.
So really great tool. So, you know, let's maybe even do that right now. So everybody who's listening mm-hmm. in, you know, close your eyes for just a brief moment. Let's just get grounded here for a moment. Put your feet flat on the ground. Hands just can relax on the lap. And start to envision whatever color you want, whatever, you know, whatever imagery comes up, but this square, a hollow square sort of in the forefront of your mind. And as you take the first breath together, as we take this first breath together, imagine this line, you're drawing this line up through the mind's eye. So you're taking a deep breath, follow that line all the way to the top corner of that square. And as you exhale, draw that line with your mind's eye across to the next corner. And then exhaling, drawing that line down, inhaling across the bottom of that square, inhaling, exhaling. So just really breathing deeply. And you may even use numbers too. You can inhale to the count of four, exhale to the count of six or eight. So here we let's try this. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, one. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Exhale, six, five, four, three, two, one. And so you just want to really allow yourself a moment or two to quiet and to just find the breath. It's as simple as that. Just find the breath. Become conscious. Become aware. This is also known as mindfulness meditation, when we can just tune everything out and bring everything in and really just connect to the breath. You will notice a huge difference in your day and in your energy. Power that with essential oils, and oh my God.
And I do want to I almost have to bring my breath back up so I can, I'm so relaxed right now. with that breath, I was going to ask, because clearly this is, other people must be experiencing this, because I just did, on my first breath there, it was almost difficult to take in I actually had to adjust my rib cage. I had to adjust my posture. I actually had to give permission for myself to allow that breath in.
And you know what that is, Lisa?
No. What is that?
that's the ego trying to play tricks on us. That's our mind.
Ooh, okay, tell me, what does that mean?
Well, I know we don't have long to go into that, this question, but if I'll just put it in short. If we understand that there is, like we talked about earlier in the call, or sorry, on the show, if you can imagine that who we are, our innate state of being is that of happiness, of love, of divine connection, of alignment, of flow. And who we are not is fear, is ego, is all of those negative emotions. That is not who we are innately. That is not our divine, truest nature. That is not our authentic self. That is not our truth.
Right.
And so when we can understand that, anything that is falling into that side of it, we know derived from the ego self. And I love that Dr. Wayne Dyer, an amazing spiritual guru that I love and follow, who's now unfortunately passed, but he talks about ego, and he talks about edging God out. And everybody has this belief, but I love that he says that, because it's what we are, is that ego part of ourself is disconnecting ourselves from our truest nature, right? And so when we can identify that that is our ego, then everything outside of that, or everything on the other side of that, is our truest nature.
Okay.
So ego is all of that stuff that comes in, the fears that says I can't, the fears that says, oh, I can't breathe right now, I don't want to breathe. You know, all of that comes from some sort of fear ego stuff.
That's so interesting, because, you know, I remember the very first yoga class I ever went to, and it was, the first one, I remember the first one was more like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. I can't just sit here and do this. This is torture. And I remember the second one, because, you know, you're being faced with these things. And the second one, I remember being in public going, oh my gosh, I want to bawl my face out. I want to cry. What is going on? I'm not going to be here crying with these people I don't know. And it was very emotional. And I actually never want to do yoga again now this is like a lifetime ago. But I remember it being so uncomfortable, because I'm so glad you recognize that. And thank you for, first of all, recognizing that and saying that, because you're right. Ego totally was there when I was going through that. And even right now, so say I'm going through stuff in my life, that could be what's, I am disconnecting, because maybe I'm so, you know, maybe I've got this going on, that going on. And so does this mean that one should just sit and lovingly still push it through, do it?
Yeah. I think, you know, in my coaching and what I coach and how I help people to deal with the ego part of ourselves is that just recognizing it, right? That when we can recognize and become aware of those behaviors and those thought patterns, and all of the stuff that's derived from the ego self, or as Dr. Robert Holden, my happiness guru, would say, that is all of that stuff is our learned self behavior, he would say conditioned self. He calls that the conditioned self. So not of the unconditioned self. Again, the unconditioned self is the love, is who we are, is the happy person, is the innately divine, you know, beautiful, loving person. That's who we are. That's our unconditioned self. The conditioned self all derives from that fear and from that ego thought, those ego thoughts, those ego patterns, those ego beliefs, those ego, you know, all of those things that are sort of at the center of our core beliefs, which we can change.
Okay. Yes. And you know what's really, I'm so glad that that you've shared that you're actually certified in this, because I can actually even see right now that by the simple thing of me saying to you, yeah, I thought, you know, breathing with that breath work was really hard for me. And like, that sounds almost silly if I were to think about it, but look how deep that just went. Look how real that just got. And being able to sit and talk with a coach and, or, you know, somebody who can walk me through that, that might be the most basic thing that really propels me getting back to my innate happiness.
Yeah. And I think
fascinating.
Yeah. You know, and that's the lovely thing about bringing some of this stuff to people's awareness, Lisa, is that we already probably know this, but it's just bringing it consciously back into our awareness where we can actually start to look a little bit deeper at it and then realize that, oh my God, okay, so this is really what's going on, you know? Yeah. So, and with my training and my experience, I'm able to see it for what it is. I want to say that, you know, a lot of my coaching is intuitive as well. So along with my training and certifications, there's an intuitive part of it as well that sort of comes into, right? So plays into effect. But yeah,
you know, let's talk. We still have 1 minute, but when we won't dive into, I would love to dive into that part, the intuitive part and intuition of yours and how other people can feel that too. So, and I will preface this, everybody, make sure they come back, that we're going to not only talk about the intuitiveness, but I do want to talk about the essential oils, because this is something that you work with as well.
Yeah.
And my gosh, I didn't know how loaded of a question that breathwork was going to, that's awesome. So I
yeah.
only imagine the oils, but I want to just recap. That part was when you were, I love what you said about I'm just trying to look at my thing here. I was already is about being conscious. And so I think that's the key part. When we're not conscious, we are not our innate self. We are living right. under conditions that we've learned. It's not the true self. And that, like, that's like a big mask.
Yeah.
And so happiness is not a mask. That's our true innate self. And so, oh my goodness, there's just so much to this. So much to this. Oh my God.
There is so much. We almost need like 3 hours.
I know. Well, and you know what? We'll talk about why these people would need 3 hours and come to your workshop. So when we come back, we have still so much more.
Awesome. Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining Vita Rubino and myself, Lisa Berry, which you can find both of us on Facebook, definitely going to spell Vita's name out for everybody. And I will right now. Actually, V-I-T-A, Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O. And she is just the most lovely happiness goddess. And she's here from Soulicious, and it is soul-inspired living. And now we are really learning what she is talking about, living from the soul and our innate self in a state of happiness. And I love that, Vita, the commercial that was just on, the cat commercial.
Yeah.
Cats bring me joy and they put me in a state of happiness. But it's so funny because we were talking about breath work earlier, and I often find that when I go and sit with my cats, their natural breath and their purring assists me. It assists me in putting me into that state. So I love that we did that. I love that commercial came on. I went, oh, I just want to say that too. So
yeah, and can I just to actually on that topic, I just want to sort of make sure that we cover this, because I think it's so important when we talk about the happiness piece, and then we can go off to finish off what we had started before the commercial. But talking about joy just quickly again, you know, I think for anybody who's listening in, I think it's so important that if you really want to attain happiness, or you want to, well, like we said initially, reclaim that happiness that's already there. Through joy will be one of the simplest, more easier ways to sort of start to tune into that happiness frequency. Because when we follow our joy, when we tap into those feelings of joy, we experience more of a heartfelt spiritual connection. We experience more of that sort of soul level fulfillment. And so whenever you're feeling disconnected, you're feeling unhappy, you're feeling just sort of, you know, it's funny, I did a conscious conversation in my Sacred Happiness group on Facebook this morning with a wonderful soulful coach. And we talked today about feeling stuck and the ways that we can get out of that those feelings of being stuck, or get out of that place of sort of restriction, and is through following our joy, connecting to or tapping into the things that make you feel good. For example, you know, I love to dance. You put me in a room with music and I just innately move my body. That's just what my body naturally does. I love dancing. I love music. And so when I'm feeling off, if, you know, one day I'm like, oh my God, I have so much work to do and I just feel so off, I will literally put music on in my living room and I'll just dance for 5 minutes. I'll let my body move. And it almost brings me back into that soulful place, because we are all of those things. We are, you know, movement through, you know, healing through movement. When we connect to movement, we're connecting to a creative place. We're connecting to a soul, to more of a soulful place. Mm-hmm. So when we focus on those things that truly make us happy or that bring us joy, like for you, you said, you know, hanging out with your cats, that can lead us into that happy place, or reclaim, or help us to reclaim that happiness. So if you know, so one of the things that I wanted to leave with you all is to really focus on what are the things that bring you joy. And then whatever they are, make sure that you're doing them almost daily or a few times a week, at least.
And yes, actually feel it.
Yeah. I mean, that can be a whole conversation in itself, but that is definitely one of the pieces that I talk through with my clients and in my workshops, because it's such an important piece. And a lot of times people are so disconnected from their joy, which is sad, but I get them to really get back into understanding or feeling or actually becoming more aware of what actually does bring them joy.
And I love that you actually said, I'm glad that you specifically said you help them do that, because my question was, and I know you're very aware and a little bit connected to Heart Math Institute, but I was going to ask, like, being in the presence of another who is in their state of happiness, is that contagious? Is that, you know, does that affect, how does that?
100%. I mean, I think for any of us, we can speak to this, you included, Lisa, mm-hmm. when you connect either, you know, even energetically, like you and I, when we initially connected, I was like, I felt instantaneously, you know, happy because of you and your energy. And I think, you know, Heart Math is such an amazing, like, oh, just like research based, like beautiful, I can't speak enough about it. I would recommend people go and research it just to do their own, or to create an understanding of what it is and what it's all about, because there's just so much scientific stuff that goes with it. Yeah. And we don't have time for that. But yeah, when we connect to that heart place, there's an energetic field that surrounds our heart. And when you walk into a room, and I think this can go for anyone, really, you walk into a room and you know, might be drawn to a specific person for one specific reason or another, and you don't really understand it. Well, it's not for you to understand. That's really your heart speaking. That's your heart connecting to the energy of this one particular soul. And there's various reasons and various things that we can talk about, but again, and we don't have time to go into all of that. But yeah, like, Yeah, 100% happiness is 100% contagious. When somebody else is happy, we innately uplift another soul. So
right. And
it's like
that...
smiling, right? The whole smiling thing. Smiling is contagious, and it affects our brains. And when you smile to one person, it uplifts them, even though they may not smile back. It still has an impact on the person that's receiving that smile.
It still has a thing. You know that I actually, because I find it, even if I'm driving and I make eye contact with somebody who's on the street walking and everything, I actually do just smile at them. And there are so many reactions that are funny, because someone will be like, oh my gosh, did she just smile at me? Like, what, do I know her? Maybe, or and another two will just smile back, and it's just really funny, like, all the different reactions and stuff going on. But we were going to bring up oils, and I really want to talk about it, because they are mood changers. My goodness, and you know about oils, so I would love to hear your take on oils and happiness.
Yeah,
and how that's all connected.
For sure, and just so people know, Lisa, I am actually an aromatherapist. So I went to the Transformation Arts College, and I'm a certified holistic health practitioner or natural practitioner.
Okay.
So I have aromatherapy sort of under my, in my sort of, you know,
yes.
education. So I'm kind of like I've got a lot, so aromatherapy, I've been using aromatherapy essential oils since 2011 and came across a specific brand that I absolutely love. And I can honestly tell you that they have changed my life and many people in my circles of influence. And, I will go through my life, from now until the day I die using essential oils, because the healing power and benefits that come from therapeutic pure essential oils are just literally astonishing. And I personally witnessed some of these things when I started to incorporate them into my life, like I did in 2011. So just on the emotional healing sense, like, you know, we talked a little bit about how you team breathwork up with essential oils, and the frequency and the energy that shifts is just like, it's so powerful. So I don't know if there were any specific questions, Lisa, that you had on essential oils, but I'm happy to answer them.
Yes. Well, I just remember there's years ago, and I won't even be able to quote any facts, but I do know that they've taken oils, one of them being orange, and pumped it through the air ducts, like the vents and everything in prisons where there was a lot of, you know, inmate violence and aggression and stuff, and literally saw a complete decline and turnaround in these so I do know that it might, I don't know all the science about it, whether it just calms our nervous system or it just reminds us of a thing, but are there certain oils that enhance, are we trying to enhance the state of happiness?
You said orange. I have orange oil sitting right in front of me, actually.
Oh, good.
I had it in my diffuser this morning. So there are specific oils that enhance mood and that uplift mood for various reasons. So we have to understand that, just to sort of give people sort of the basics so that they understand. Essential oils are plant-based material that are created, or I should say distilled, to create the volatile liquid from the plant. So you're talking about anything from the tree, from the leaves, the bark, the root, you know, anything to do with the plant, a flower, is all distilled, and then that volatile liquid surfaces to the top. That is the essential oil. That is where we get the essential oil. So we're actually working with real live plant-based material, and, you know, plants and trees and things like that, they're all alive. They're all living. So if they're living, they have an energy frequency. And the coolest thing about essential oils is that the frequency of some of these oils are, you wouldn't, you know, on the scale of Hertz, that what essential oils are measured by is in Hertz. And the frequencies of these essential oils are truly amazing. If you think of cancer and death, is that like, you know, 20 and below? Rose oil, for example, I want to say like 320 megahertz.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So the frequencies of these oils alone can just shift your energy. So you're talking about, you know, orange oil in prisons where there's a lot of aggression. Well, absolutely. If you can think of these essential oils as having a frequency, an energy frequency to them, when we are actually diffusing them, or we're actually inhaling them, consciously bringing them into our limbic system of the brain, so they go right into the brainstem, they go right into, you know, these different parts of our body, they actually shift energy immediately. You know how when you walk into nature, you automatically feel grounded, you feel sort of calm. You know, Mother Nature has this wonderful effect on our, you know, on ourselves, right? On the physical, emotional, spiritual, right? Well, that is essentially what these oils do. These oils shift energy, They raise vibration. They help with emotional clearing. They help with emotional blockages. They help with deepening spiritual practices. They help with physical ailments. They help with mental block. It's just the list. Yeah. Again, here's another radio show. Just on essential
oils. Right? Yes.
Yeah. There's just so much to talk about. But Lisa, truly, my life has changed since I started to incorporate the essential oils the way that I do today. And I do use them in my practice. I do use them in all my workshops with my clients. One-on-one in my yoga as well as my meditation workshop. So they are a huge part of what I do on all levels, for personal and professional. And I highly recommend, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think about oils every day, and then I don't take that extra step and go, okay, I should stop and do something with them or about them for them. And one of my concerns is, obviously, and I'm not doing a plug for any one specific thing, or, you know, brand or whatever, but you do want to look for the pure essential oil, and you want to make sure they come in. Because if it's not, first of all, are there any dangers if it's not, or you just,
Absolutely, Lisa. So again, okay. I mean, do your own research, of course. I would highly recommend anybody who's getting into the essential oil world to do their own research. I highly recommend that from, you know, right off the bat. Understand who your supplier is, where you're getting your oils, where they're coming from, you know, all of the ins and outs about your oils, where they're distilled in. Are they distilled in aluminum pots, or are they distilled in stainless steel pots? Like, that is huge, right? Aluminum, we understand now, research is saying that is causing, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's. So you want to know all the ins and outs of where you're getting your oils. And unfortunately, in the essential oil world, 97% of the industry, or 98% of the industry, are all adulterated oils. So you want to be careful that in Canada, in order to stay 100% pure on the bottle, Lisa, and I will share this out loud because it's so true, that it actually only needs to have anywhere between 84 and 87% of that real oil in the bottle. Or sorry, 87%, 14 to 16% is real. The other 80% is typically like synthetic oils, carrier oils. So that's why they suggest, right, to just be careful, and because no one really knows what is being put in these essential oils unless you're dealing with a company who, in my case, you know, I deal with Young Living, and I trust them 110%. They are the world leader in essential oils. And again, you know, I'm not trying to plug for any, just because I believe, you know.
But we are trying to refer people to a safe and, useful oil.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have a seed-to-seal process. You know, it's just, the integrity of this company, Lisa, I honestly can't talk enough about this company.
Aww.
So for me,
well, and you know what?
I stick.
And because we can't talk enough about it, this is one important thing. You've got so many things. First of all, you teach workshops. You've got a book that's coming out soon. You run things on Facebook. You do things. So I want to take this opportunity so I don't run out of time.
Yeah.
Can you share with everybody, where can they get a little bit more of you and find out more from you about all these things?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go to my website, which is www.thehappinessgoddess.ca. They can also find me on Facebook, either Vita Rubino, or join my Sacred Happiness community, which is entitled Embrace You, Love Yourself Happy.
I love that. Embrace You. Embrace You. E-M-B-R-A-C-E. Y-O-U?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And or if they're on Instagram and they want to find out more about, you know, the essential oil specifically, I have an Instagram, which is, I just have to pull it up, Healthy Happy Vibrant.
Okay.
And it's Sensational Living.
Ah, that's so cute. Sorry, I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And then my Embrace You account is Soulicious, Soul Inspired Living. And it's M, just the letter M, B-R-A-C-E, just the letter U on Instagram as well. And I'm on Twitter and, you know, everything else. But yeah, those are the main two platforms that I use. But absolutely, I would love to share more of this information with anyone and answer any questions that anyone may have.
I do. And you know what? And I think that after us talking about it, even just briefly, like in depth, but briefly, I can see how it almost feels like, for me, I don't know about this, but it actually feels like the starting point. It feels like the starting point for almost anything. So if anybody was struggling with a career choice or a moving choice or abuse or anything actually that's just anywhere, this almost sounds like the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many things that we can do, so many things that we would talk about in like in coaching or in an 8-week workshop series, which is like, you know, things like following your joy, which we already spoke on briefly, things like, you know, creating or cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Like those are all, these are all kind of things that are going to help us to tap into that happiness place, to reclaim that innate happiness that we already are.
I love that you said that word, because that's where we started, was about reclaiming happiness.
Yeah. And for those, you know, for those of you who are listening, like, honestly, just know that we are already happy beings, that once you tap in, once you make the conscious choice to reconnect to that happiness, to find your joy, to start practicing gratitude, you know, you will slowly get there. Don't give up, because you are, you know, a true divine light. And don't be afraid to, you know, truly let your light shine, because you didn't come into this earth for suffering, to suffer. Mm-hmm. You came onto this earth to shine your beautiful light.
Oh, and what a beautiful way to end that. So, Vita Rubino, we want to thank you and just invite everybody. And just I love that saying, everybody out there, you are happiness. You are innately happy, and don't judge yourself. Just you'll get there one breath at a time, not one step at a time.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to hear from everybody. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And I hope that we all feel a little bit more joy and can get back to that state of happiness. Well, thank you so much for being Vita. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It's been a true pleasure. So I look forward to talking to you again soon. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Bye, Vita.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.